Luxury living begins with your move to Mason, Preferred Living's newest community in the desirable New Albany area. Your suite features soaring ceilings, White Valley granite countertops, and spa-inspired bathrooms. With amenities like a multi-tier year-round pool and hydrotherapy spa, Trackman golf simulators, a private screening room, and complimentary Starbucks coffee, every day feels like a retreat. Learn more and schedule your tour at livepreferred.com.
Sleep better and save big right now at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $800 store-wide. Get buy one, get one free deals, plus a free adjustable base on select mattresses. With 0% interest financing, free delivery, and our exclusive lifetime price guarantee, you can't miss this. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Ryan McGee from ESPN here in just a few minutes. Get his thoughts on Josh Heupel and the hiring at Tennessee. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the latest with the Preds at 8:30 with Terry Crist. And then David Ubben drops by at 9 o'clock. So a loaded show for you here today on Robbie and Rex Road. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee. Ryan, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Oh, David Ubben coming up in an hour. I might just stay on hold and see what he has to say. I usually just copy his notes anyway. So
he's awesome. David Ubben is one of the best, that's for sure. Ryan, what have you made of what's gone on in Knoxville this past week? Obviously, Danny White comes in, the hire from UCF, the coaching search underway, and they end up with Josh Heupel. What do you think of that hire? How, I guess, far down the list do you think he actually was for the Vols?
I don't know. I don't think he was that far down Danny White's list. I think he might have been down the list of you know, people in the building, or certainly he certainly was down the list of Vol Twitter. Let's just put it that way. but I think that I'll say this though about Vol Twitter, they kind of got neutralized. Like, it was interesting, and I know these are your people, and you wrote that great story about them and all that. But it's it was interesting because they wanted to be super angry, and they wanted to like it, but they all ended up kind of falling somewhere in the middle. And that was – it was interesting watching that reaction because you know this. As a Tennessee alum, what happens with me in these things is I have two jobs when news breaks. Like, when I woke up Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day, and, you know, all this is happening, I had two distinctly different groups calling me, and it was work – want to know what about this, what about this, what about that. And then it was my college roommates and my in-laws and my cousins and all that stuff, you know, asking me, you know, who in the world is Josh Heupel? And me having explained to them who it was. But it's, listen, I think that the hiring of Josh Heupel is the perfect illustration of what we have talked about on this show so many times, which is this is who you are right now. And who you are is not Alabama. Again, who you want to be when you grow up right now is Auburn, because that's the goal. You got to get to a one tier first before you get back to the tier where you want to be. And listen, what's the biggest complaint in the last 15 years is quarterback play. Certainly over the last 3 years, it's been quarterback play. Josh Heupel knows how to coach up some quarterbacks. And when people obsess over the win-loss record, particularly that third year, you know, the guy lost both of his starting quarterbacks in back-to-back years. And still, you know, all totaled, you know, lost what all the games by less than 20 points and was still one of the best offenses in the country. So I get that it's not, you know, amazingly, they were not able to hire Nick Saban away from Alabama. I know that caught some people off guard. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's a bad hire. I don't think it's a flashy hire. But I also think it might be a little bit better than people realize.
Yeah, you mentioned Vol Twitter, right? So, you had a tweet about Vol Twitter, which it was so, like, did you have a little bit of reconciliation or something, or what happened?
No,
there?
They tried. I mean, everybody tried to, hey, McGee this and hey, McGee that, and I had some people that were kind enough to send me, apparently at one point there was a billboard in Fayetteville, Arkansas, with like one of these movie poster pop-out quotes of me talking about the Chad Morris hire, how it was great. So I got a lot of that. I didn't respond to anybody because it wasn't worth it, but I enjoyed watching the back and forth. And, I think what I posted a GIF of, there's this hilarious scene, Mr. Bean. This woman's trying to hug him, and he just puts his hand out and hits it. She walks right into her face, walks right into his hand, and then they just kind of, instead of hugging, they settle for a handshake. And that's what I said my relationship was with Vol Twitter.
That's a fine place to be. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's
fine. Yeah. Yeah, it's just do not engage, right? It's just, you know, every now and then you'll pick one ding dong and you'll retweet them and just to let them know, hey, I'm listening. But at the end of the day, it's not any worth it.
Well, also speaking of them, Danny White, I got to say, I'm not surprised at all because every AD does this, although I guess he didn't have to go out of his way to do the, we offered it to one person, this was the number one choice, et cetera, right, et cetera. You know, yeah, okay. We all know how it works with the search firms. But Danny White asking for less negativity, I that did hit me a little wrong because, and look, the guy's been on the job for a week. He probably hasn't thought a lot about Tennessee athletics, but he needs to familiarize himself with this fan base and what it's gone through, I would say.
Yeah, but I would say that, but I would also say that that is the fan base's reputation now. And even though he was not a Tennessee guy, listen, one of his best buddies is you know, the AD of Florida. And, you know, it's not like he's not, you know, up against you. He's sitting right in the demographic. He's sitting right in the footprint. So, but listen, as difficult, I've had this conversation with, again, my friends and in-laws and my wife and everyone else. As much as it hurts to hear it, the reputation of the fan base factors into the decision-making process for these coaches. It's just a fact, because no matter where you stood on the Schiano thing, that did real damage in the coaching community as far as, why am I going to deal with this? You know, if I pass on this job because I think I might have a better opportunity coming soon, Tony Elliott, then, you know, all things being equal, why am I going to deal with this 24 hours a day? And so every fan base is passionate, and every coach has the stories about the grandmas screaming at him in the grocery store and all that stuff. But right now, fair or unfair, and in my mind it's probably fair, the Tennessee fan base doesn't have the greatest reputation in the coaching community right now.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you talk to coaches, they'll tell you. You know, and I get it. There's a lot of money and there's prestige and all those things, but all things being equal, if I think I've got a chance at another Power 5 job pretty soon, then it factors into the decision. And I think that's what Danny White was trying to get at. And again, I'm not saying people agree with him or disagree with him, but it is what it is. And I hate it, but it is.
I mean, my counter to that would be if you gave Ohio State's fan base, for an example, this football for 12, 13 years. I mean, yeah. I understand that Schiano Sunday was a special situation, and so that
the Schiano thing was the stupidest thing that has happened in coaching searches in the last decade, and that's a fact. And it's embarrassing, and it's to the point that, you know, when you it's what other coaches bring up immediately. I stood on sidelines this year and talked to coaches whom I believed had a chance at the Tennessee job, and I know for a fact they stood there and just kind of said, I don't know if I can deal with that, man. And so I think it 100% factors in. And I'm not saying you're wrong at all. I don't disagree with you at all, but I'm just telling you that it is what it is. And at the end of the day, that wasn't that long ago, the Schiano thing. And so that's still going to factor into these decisions. And people can get mad about that, and people who write for other websites can be mad about that. But at the end of the day, you know, that's who you are right now, and that sucks, but that's what it is.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ryan, I want to ask you about a guy you're very familiar with, and that is Jamie Chadwell. Obviously did a great job this year at Coastal Carolina, and it doesn't look like he was even contacted about this job with Tennessee. Are you surprised by that? Do you think Tennessee made a mistake by not reaching out to Jamie Chadwell?
I thought he should have been on the short list from the jump. And the reason is because all of that stuff I'm talking about, Jamie Chadwell understands it, and he understands the passion behind it, and he understands all that because he was that guy. I mean, And we've talked about it before. I mean, grew up just north of Knoxville, named his first child after Heath Shuler. His first real date in high school was the 93 Alabama game. And so he listen, this is a guy who understands the passion, and he can look at it with the reasoning that we're all the three of us are having right now, which is, well, you got to kind of understand because we've all lived it, and Jamie Chadwell has lived it. So that part of it really surprised me. And plus, and I told you guys this, you know, you're going to have some sort of recruiting restrictions. It's just coming. And what's the best way to handle that is a guy who can take a one-star and coach him into a three-star. And a guy can take a three-star and coach him into a five-star, looks for diamonds in the rough, and also, by the way, runs the funkiest offense in college football right now, which will buy you some time while you're trying to build whatever you have to build with one hand tied behind your back. So, yeah, I'm really surprised, particularly with an AD that was coming from the group of five, and Coastal Carolina being the story. You know, that they were the UCF of this year. The fact that there wasn't a whole lot of contact there surprised me a little bit.
So on Heupel, Ryan, like you said, I mean, there are obviously, first of all, this year does have to be at least there's got to be some kind of asterisk, right, because of COVID. I mean, they had 10 opt-outs, things like that. But also, as you mentioned, they've had quarterbacks hurt. I am a little concerned when I see where they're placed and what that program was when he took it over. And, of course, you know, had a great first year, that they would slide in recruiting relative to other AAC schools. But I agree with you. I mean, if you have a great quarterback and you know how to develop them, for one thing, that's very different from the last staff here, and that can go a long way. So what is your – like, when you look at what he did there and what his upside could be, how would you evaluate that?
Well, I don't really do believe this. I mean, they had a legit Heisman Trophy candidate in the quarterback who suffered a devastating injury. And then they had another quarterback this year that I thought was great, but just couldn't, again, suffered injuries. And so I think that, you know, listen, for folks that don't remember, and yes, I know he was fired at Oklahoma, but he was there a decade before that. And you know, was the guy who coached Sam Bradford to a Heisman. And you know, people forget this because they tripped over themselves against Florida in the national championship game. That offense that he coached, that Sam Bradford was a quarterback on, was the Joe Burrow of their time. I mean, no, it was a 50-point a game offense, and it stayed that way. And even with their struggles at quarterback and their inability to win some of the close games this year, I mean, they still put up crazy numbers offensively, and they did that. So, and here's the thing too is, I like we had Shane Beamer on Marty McGee last weekend, and one of the questions, the new coach of South Carolina, one of the questions we had for him was, you know, how much do you lean on your Rolodex? And he goes, are you kidding me? And this is a guy that's coached for Steve Spurrier, and obviously his dad, Frank Beamer, is an all-time great. And the list of coaches that he's worked with, and that included the guys at Oklahoma, he can call them whenever he wants. Nick Saban was not returning Jeremy Pruitt's phone calls. There wasn't a whole lot of exchange there. The mentor was not calling and saying, hey, you should try this and you should try that. That's not really how that works with the Saban coaching tree. Josh Heupel can call anybody he wants. And I guarantee you Bob Stoops is going to be on campus in Knoxville soon. And all those guys are going to be there, all his mentors, to talk about, you know, what's this and what's that. And I'm in a Power 5 program. What can I do? So I think there's some concern when you look at those things, but I also think that, you know, those first 2 years of UCF, pretty good.
Ryan McGee from ESPN, co-host of Marty and McGee, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Ryan, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, I look forward to my pop-out quotes about how great Heupel was going to be 4 years from now.
We're crafting the tweet right now.
We'll get that billboard put up for you over the weekend, my man.
I need one of those billboards from Fables. I can just put it in my backyard.
just advertise the whole thing. See you, Ryan. Thanks, we appreciate your time. One of the best in the business, Ryan McGee from ESPN. When we come back, we'll react to some of what he had to say here and maybe give some advice to Josh Heupel along the way as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Ryan McGee from ESPN for joining us in the last segment. One of the favorites of Vol Twitter. Ryan McGee, always in the mix on Vol Twitter, whether voluntarily or involuntarily. And now that's the same with the coaching search as well.
What do you say every once in a while? You retweet a ding dong? That's a good way to put it.
That is a good way to put it. I asked him about Jamie Chadwell. How surprised are you that it seems like he was not contacted at all during this search?
Yeah.
To me, that blows me away.
I agree. And now, listen, I've heard another part of this search, certainly, which is important. It's incredible. And I go back to the Vanderbilt search, some stuff I heard just about how coaches were looking at it. Jimmy Sexton, and I mean, agents run sports largely. Jimmy Sexton has just about everybody, including Pruitt. And so, like, coaching searches happen. It's like, well, who would Jimmy like to be? So Jimmy has, like, okay, there's six candidates for a job. Jimmy's got five of them. So, Jimmy, who would you like to get this job? And those conversations happen. And so with this situation, the word was, well, Jimmy is very mad. This is like, you guys watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
God. Okay, thank you, Robbie. Yeah. You guys don't get my shirt either, but we'll get into that later. You know, it's like, Jimmy's not happy. There's a Seinfeld. Do you remember this episode where Jimmy talks about himself in third person?
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy's getting angry. Well, Jimmy, not happy with Tennessee because of what happened. So Jimmy clients maybe aren't as, and Chadwell's one of them. Now,
I
know, and I'm, believe me, I'm following up. I don't care. Chadwell would have taken the job if it was offered. Napier's also a Jimmy client. I mean, just about every coach is a Jimmy client. I mean, so it's like if you do one of his clients wrong, watch out. So I think there's some truth to that, but yes, you have to look at Chadwell. And I mean, is the NCAA thing part of it? Why not? It wasn't that big of a deal. I think that's a mistake. Napier, you know, Healy is, I think I know where Healy's career is going. I would say certainly Josh Heupel's resume is better than Healy, and
sure,
White's familiarity with Heupel is a big thing. It's probably one of the things that makes you feel best about this is that he wasn't totally like, no thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, but I think Chadwell certainly was a guy who there are a lot of things about him that you would like as the Tennessee AD and the potential there, and at least worth a conversation.
So if you're Josh Heupel, and you're coming into a job in a league where, you know, obviously you've had some success at UCF, but this is a huge jump. Going to the SEC, competing at this level, going up against Florida and Georgia and Alabama on a yearly basis. How do you construct your staff? It's especially from this standpoint of what you talked about, which I agree, I think is a huge concern with Josh Heupel, and that is recruiting. It was going the wrong way at UCF. Recruiting is the name of the game in the SEC. As we know, I mean, Tennessee just got caught cheating in recruiting and it still wasn't good enough. How do you handle going about hiring your staff if you're Josh Heupel? I would expect there are going to be a lot of transfers, not from a player standpoint, but from a coaching standpoint from UCF. Obviously, he's got some familiarity with some guys on staff there. How would you go about filling out your staff if you're Josh Heupel, based on the recruiting and how important it's going to be for this team and this coach specifically with Tennessee in this job?
Well, I think obviously when you have a coach like this, your question is, you know, defensively, what I mean, you have to have a really good DC. And this point, you know, was brought up by a coach to me the other day, which I threw into my column, and it's certainly one issue with this offense is like a lot of D coordinators look at this offense and say, man, this does not help me. The way you guys play doesn't help me. It's harder in practice, you know, in some ways, but also, you know, as a defense coordinator, you want an offense that controls the ball some, runs the ball some. Now, Heupel's offenses have had running success too. I mean, he talked about balance and they've had some balance, but still that style doesn't lend itself to defensive coaches being excited about it. But you got, you know, it's Tennessee. You got to find a good defensive staff. But the guy who jumps out at me, of course, is Jeff Lebby. I mean, Jeff Lebby was with Heupel at UCF for the 2 years that were great. And, of course, Mackenzie Milton was, you know, the guy who finished sixth in the Heisman voting. And then Lane Kiffin took him away this year.
Yeah.
So, Tennessee fans, you didn't get your Lane Kiffin, but one thing that you should be looking for is for your new coach to steal him back from Lane Kiffin. And I think that would be – I mean, that would be a good sign, you know, if Heupel won, if Lebby, you know, thinks that much of Heupel to leave. And, I mean, this guy obviously at Ole Miss in 1 year, they had some pretty good success offensively moving the ball. And if your offense can look like Ole Miss looked this year, at least you're going to be fun to watch. So that's a name, I think, of high interest right now. Can he get Jeff Lebby back and get him away from Lane Kiffin? That would be a big win for Tennessee. That would be an L for Lane. He already took an L when Tennessee didn't contact him and bring him home. Sorry, Lane. What if Lane doesn't get that and he loses Lebby?
Well, I wonder if Lebby is a candidate for UCF's head coaching job. Like, I wonder if that's something. I mean, I saw it on social media yesterday. Players are all over it, campaigning for him to come get the job. So, look, I don't know what that means. I mean, you got to go and kind of vet that process if you're UCF, but maybe Lebby ends up as a head coach at UCF.
Well, and it's interesting, too, with him. Now, when he got hired at UCF, there were people that were upset because Jeff Lebby, of course, was on those Baylor staffs that were under Art Briles. You know, they were all fired. You know, and he, I don't know of like direct stuff with him, but still you're all kind of smudged by that. Does that have any, does it make it harder to make him your head coach? I don't know. I mean, I think now that he's been in that your job and he's been at Ole Miss, probably not as much, but at least that's one thing to kind of think of. I mean, it will certainly be brought up again if he gets a head coaching job. But yeah, what would, if he had his choice of those three things, What would be most appealing? I mean, I suppose if you want to be a head coach in this, I mean, that's still an awfully strong G5 program that can vault you to another spot.
If I had to rank them right now in terms of the three options you just put out there, I would probably put UCF head coach 1, staying at Ole Miss 2, and Tennessee 3. I just think that's the reality of it right now.
You're just down on the Vols, man.
Well, I mean,
down on Heupel.
If you're an offensive guy, and I look, Heupel, obviously the numbers have been great and they've got familiarity with each other. Do you see that Ole Miss offense last year? Why would you leave that?
Yeah. I mean,
you stick around there long enough, you'll get a head coaching job. That offense was incredible.
And you're coming in at Tennessee and you just don't know. I mean, you've got some intriguing talent at quarterback. They just lost their stud running back. Well, two stud running backs, actually. And receivers looking
pretty thin.
Okay. I mean, Hyatt's
going to be really good. Jalen
Hyatt's going to be really good. Bayless Jones coming back is, I think, in that offense, you could do some things with him. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, you are in a safer position. I mean, a lot of it would come down to how you feel about Heupel, how you feel about what he'll do, your relationship with him, and what his upside is as the coach. If he stays there, right or wrong, Vols fans are going to look at that and say, so he wouldn't even come with his guy who gave him the opportunity at UCF and to go to a program that has a higher profile than Ole Miss, and he's just staying with Lane. What does that say about our guy?
You can read it that way if you want to, and I know a lot of Tennessee fans will. I would read it more as, golly, that offense that Lane Kiffin's put together is really good. Why would you leave that? Like, I think it has more to do with how successful they are and will continue to be on offense than it does the state of the Tennessee program right now. That's just the way I read it.
Okay. You may be right. Yeah.
Well, I know that's not how Tennessee fans are not going to read it.
Maybe he won't do it. Maybe he'll come to Tennessee.
Maybe he will. Maybe we'll have to wait and see. Maybe that's an option.
That's got to be an early call.
You would hope so.
For Heupel.
Maybe the call's already been made. Maybe we'll find out over the weekend. When we come back, Tennessee has made a lot of very strange decisions in their athletic department the last 12 years. There's one they made a few weeks ago that leaves you scratching your head, especially given the way this coaching search just played out. We'll discuss what that is next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up here in about 15 minutes. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Take it any way you want to take it this weekend on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That coming up here in about 15 minutes. And, Joe, as we know, I mean, there have been a whole lot of interesting hires that Tennessee's made over the course of the past decade in their football department. One of the more interesting ones that I think is even more head-scratching now is Kevin Steele coming in a few weeks ago and joining the staff. Now, Jeremy Pruitt at that time was still on staff, still the head coach, and Kevin Steele was coming in the middle of an investigation that, as we know, has since cost Jeremy Pruitt his job. When you know how this has played out and you know that the investigation was ongoing when Kevin Steele was brought in, my simple question is, if you're Tennessee's like administration, or if you're Philip Fulmer at the time, how do you let this happen? Like, if you know that there's a possibility that your entire staff could be turned over and Jeremy Pruitt could be out, how do you let this happen to where Kevin Steele has come in? Now it looks like he's going to be out. And for basically coming in for like 2 weeks, Kevin Steele is going to be owed almost $1 million by Tennessee. It's unbelievable. Like, how did they let this happen?
If this is how it goes, it's just incredible. You just paid a dude $900K, and he didn't even get like his family pictures up in his office, and then just
he's
see you later.
Probably staying in a hotel,
right? See you later, and here's $900K. So let's do the math. They're trying to get out of $12.6 million for Pruitt, and you have take Kevin Steele's salary and take the search firm's $120K. So that's over $1 million, right? If my math is correct,
it is.
Good math there, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you. So more than $1 million.
Right around $13.7 million, all told right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, or like if you save that money, now you just throw another million in onto the fire for a search firm when you just basically just brought the dude you were just with and UCLA. And I understand. The search firm allows Danny White to say he was our number one choice. That's the you paid $120,000 so that you could say, we offered this to one person, because the search firm had all the conversations with all the other coaches who said, nah, you didn't offer them anything. You only offered to someone who is going to say yes. But anyway, there's $120K for that, and now $900K for – I mean, I have to think that Fulmer, when he did this, thought that maybe this could be your stopgap. Fulmer's a stopgap. Maybe Kevin Steele's your stopgap.
What do you mean? Fulmer was contemplating retirement the whole time. He wasn't thinking about this. What are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is a decision that he's been thinking about for a while now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's all, it's just, I mean, I suppose the people now with Fulmer out can say, look, this was, and they wouldn't say it publicly, but they can say, look, this is part of Philip retiring now. It's like, you just gave this guy a 2-year guaranteed contract. When you have no idea what's going to happen, I mean, was in Fulmer's mind, was this like maybe he'll at least be Jeremy's guy if Jeremy keeps the job, or he'll be the stopgap coach? I'll say this though: if I'm Josh Heupel, why aren't you considering Kevin Steele?
Are you going to bring the DC from UCF?
I mean, Kevin Steele has been a pretty good DC.
Yeah,
right. I mean, at least this saves that would save Tennessee looking stupid again. Not that most of what Tennessee looking stupid isn't on Josh Heupel. He just got there. But
also, he's a good coach.
Right, he's a good coach. I mean, obviously, you don't make that decision to be like, oh, boy, this is embarrassing. Let's keep the guy. But I would think that you would really think about it if you're Josh Heupel. This guy's been in the SEC. He's had very good defenses. He knows Tennessee well. Who's your better hire than Kevin Steele at DEC?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And Cecil Hurt had just a phenomenal tweet yesterday, and you know, Cole Kubelik laid out, you know, the terms of the contract for Kevin Steele and how he's basically been there for 2 weeks and is owed $900,000. Cecil Hurt said, at $450,000 per week, Kevin Steele surpasses Nick Saban as the highest paid coach in college football.
There you go. Hey, that's a pretty good rate, man. Good work if you can get it. It's just that's the only way you're going to get him, right?
Yeah.
But why did you have to get him?
That's what I keep going back to. Like, you're in the middle of an investigation. Why are you hiring coaches? Which, by the way, we heard there was a hiring freeze. Like, how did this happen to begin with? And now you've got a coach randomly joining your staff in the middle of an investigation, which I think if you're honest with yourself, if you're Tennessee, you knew pretty early on there's a chance you're going to have to go through a coaching search just based on the information that was coming out. It just makes no sense to me.
It's
the most Tennessee thing ever.
This goes into the sports ski mask Hall of Fame.
Oh, big time. This is a ski mask. First ballot.
Yes, Kevin Steele is a first ballot ski mask Hall of Famer.
Now, I think, and you're right.
Stealing $1 million. Amazing.
Yeah, just completely. Thank you. Bye-bye. I'll take the mill. Now, I do believe that Kevin Steele, I mean, he's a Tennessee guy, and I don't think he signs up for this.
He's even more of a Tennessee guy now.
I don't think he signs up for this if he doesn't think he has a shot at the job. I mean, obviously, he wanted the Auburn job badly. He's wanted a head coaching job badly. He has not been able to get that opportunity. So I think from his perspective, and who knows, I'd love to hear the conversations he and Fulmer had, that he thought he could have. So maybe for him, he's disappointed. But you know what? Take that free money. It almost felt like when they hired him, like it was Fulmer responding to, because it was ESPN, what it was, Schlabach, right? He had the report that they had a freeze. And then it's like, no, we don't have a freeze. Look, I just hired this guy. It's like, okay, so what does that mean? Does this mean that this is going to be Jeremy's guy on defense? This is saying that you know Jeremy's going to be fired and this is your answer?
Well, remember, he was apparently on a plane with Pruitt going to try to convince Tolo Tolo to stay. Like we all thought, okay, well, maybe this is Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah. He's just staying around, and Kevin Steele's going to be on staff. And it doesn't look like that was ever close to being the case.
Instead, it was just Tennessee saying, yep, spend whatever money you want. Fly out to California, hire this guy, spend. We're good. We're going to get the buyout back from Jeremy. We're fine. That's like $12.6 million in free money. Let's burn it another way.
So what's going to happen, and I think there's a decent chance this does happen, when Tennessee has to reach some sort of settlement with Pruitt, and now you add on this part of it as well, and the search firm as well. I'm not sure how much money ultimately is going to be saved by Tennessee in this process once the litigation with Jeremy Pruitt and his lawyers is all said and done. Like, look, I don't think there's going to be any way they're on the hook for all $12.6 million of it, just based on some of the information you hear coming out. But I wouldn't be surprised if they've got to pay something to Jeremy Pruitt in this process.
Right. So in the end, what will you end up saving? What will you end up saving to kneecap your football program?
Still paying
Fulmer? $5 million? Yeah, you got that. You got some fat checks coming to him till 2023. So you might end up saving, a few mil.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea what the settlement might be. I agree. It's not going to be zero. I mean, his lawyer is out for blood.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting. Now, I do think that when we get all the information on the investigation, and again, let's remember, they fired 10 people. So, like, they found some stuff here. This is not Kansas and, a coach was on the field. This is some stuff. But still, you're going to end up saving, like, $4 or $5 million, something like that, to just blow everything up and be on probation and have Josh Heupel as your head coach.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Pretty amazing. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug in Franklin texts in and says, who is Kevin's agent? Is Kevin Steele's agent Jimmy Sexton?
I'm going to guess
so,
Jimmy Sexton.
That's amazing. It's just Jimmy Sexton's small way of getting back at Tennessee. Yeah, that'd be something.
Jimmy is a Tennessee grad.
Yeah,
he's not happy with the alma mater. Kevin Steele is too. I don't know that he's – I mean, I assume every coach is a Jimmy client. It's like if you're not
– Chances are good.
Do you feel bad? Like if you're a college football coach, like how bad do you feel if you're not a Jimmy Sexton client?
That's a good question.
You're not in the club.
Oh,
Jimmy
man.
Sexton will have his revenge.
Doesn't it just feel like this Kevin Steele situation – perfectly illustrates what Tennessee football has been for the last 12 years. I mean, this is the most Tennessee thing ever.
Yeah, and listen, Danny White, I still think was a good hire. It was celebrated wildly, but it's also, like, if football goes real bad from here, we're also going to look back at Pruitt gets fired Monday, and it's like hair on fire, you know. Like, it's funny. Again, you spin everything, depending on how you feel about it. At the time, it was like, wow, did they move fast?
decisive. Look at these guys. Leadership.
They knew exactly who they wanted.
If football goes bad and Danny White doesn't distinguish himself at Tennessee, and it's certainly possible, then we're going to look back and be like, so they basically were just like, throw money at whoever, and I don't know what he is, and I didn't do a background check, and yay, Danny White, his dad's good. I mean, you know, again, I think he's going to end up being the AD for a long time, and I think he'll be good, but football really does dictate how an AD is known. I think he'll get the next hire too, by the way. And even that last week looks different a little bit to me based on this week.
Yeah, I agree.
As the Tennessee football world turns.
Yeah, it's an intriguing soap opera that never really seems to have an end to it. I saw the number for Kevin Steele yesterday and was just floored by how much money he's about to make for 2 weeks of work. So congratulations to him. I mean, great. I hope he enjoys it. I think he's getting monthly installments to reach that number over the next 2 years. So good for him. Going to be a good job.
Tennessee, is amazing how many people they pay to not work for them. And what was his buyout at Auburn? Like $5 million or something, right?
Oh, yeah. He's in good shape. He'll be just
doing
fine.
All right, Kevin.
When we come back, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Take it any direction you want to take it. Some hockey action. Maybe you've got some called shots about the Preds, the NBA underway, the Super Bowl coming up here in a week. All of it here on the table. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. We need you to take a leap of faith. It can't be, hey, I think the L.A. Lakers are going to beat the New York Knicks. That doesn't count. That's not a bold prediction. We need them to be bold. We need them to be loud. We need them to be proud. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, obviously, Ryan Porth, not a lot of football going on this weekend. Not any football going on this weekend. Are you going to miss the Pro Bowl, by the way? Like, are you just sad that you're not going to have the Pro Bowl to watch this weekend? Maybe a virtual tournament?
No.
Nobody? Not one person sad?
No.
One of the worst things in all of sports.
Yeah, it's terrible. I hope that never comes back. That would be great. Ryan Porth, you typically have about 7 or 8 shots. Does the lack of football this weekend impact your total at all?
It does.
Okay.
It does. And that means I have 0.
You have no called shots?
I have 0 called shots because the last like 3 weeks I've gone 0-4. So I am taking myself out of called shot Friday.
Is that allowed?
This week.
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed.
No called shots.
But wow. You know, management does whatever management wants to do.
There we go.
Let's put more on us. That's fine. Well, let's go back and let's go check that.
Mine was brutal last week.
Okay, so we got Rodgers. This is Porth's choice. Well, he had a lot of shots. Rodgers, 3 passes and the discount double check. No, Josh Allen, more yards than Mahomes. Actually, I don't know. Did he? I mean, I doubt it. No, I don't think he did. No. Bills D will pick off Mahomes twice and go to the Super Bowl. Oh, boy. Preds, a minimum of 3 points versus Dallas. Oh, boy. Yossi will score the first goal in Dallas.
Nope.
One scrap minimum between the Preds and Dallas.
Nope.
Perfect opportunity, too, in a 7-0 game.
Yeah.
Now, you said Shane Bowen hired as D coordinator, which... So that's still
looking
out
like
there.
It may happen.
And you're looking all right there. So, you know, it's not all bad. Robbie, you had Soros gets a shutout in Dallas.
Well, there was a shutout in that game.
You had the Preds getting 4 points in Dallas.
Oh, boy.
You had Tom Herman as the Vols' next head coach.
Go Vols, baby. Come on.
Sounds
Tom
Herman. Good. And then Aaron Rodgers with 4 touchdown passes. So, but hey, Let me get to my bad picks. Jamie Chadwell, Vols head coach. No.
Didn't even call him.
Josh Allen, 3 picks in Kansas City. I at least had the right winner of that game, but he didn't throw.
It was a brutal week on
Call Your
Shot
Friday. Picks in that game?
I
think he might have thrown 1.
I think 1.
Yeah.
Soros, shutout versus Dallas. There we go. God. Oh, and here's a good one. Deshaun Watson will be in Houston in 2021. So, all right, we all stink at this. It doesn't mean we're going to stop doing it, though.
Porth has given up. Joe Rexroad, your call shots for the weekend. What are they?
My called shots for the weekend are very heavy on college basketball. You guys won't let me talk about college basketball.
You do whatever you want, buddy.
By the way,
I feel bad for anyone, including, I think, you two, who did not watch ESPNU last night and watch an amazing Belmont-Austin Peay game, 81-76 Belmont over Austin Peay. Belmont 17-1. They're going to be one of my called shots. Caleb Hollander, 24 points, huge game at the four, but Grayson Murphy took that game over. Absolutely fantastic. Terry Taylor was great for Austin Peay. It was awesome college basketball because that's what we have in this state. We have awesome college basketball. Here's some of my called shots. One, Belmont. Let's go with them first. Highest NCAA seed that they have ever had on the way. And they've had some good seeds. In fact, they were an 11 just a couple years ago when, of course, they got to they beat Temple. Rick Byrd got his first NCAA win. I think they're going to be a 9 seed and be in an 8-9 game, which is very high, and that, of course, means basically they're going to probably win out or close to it. The Vols will win over Kansas Saturday. Big, big game in TBA tomorrow. 81-76 last night was great. If anybody's been watching Tennessee lately, and if anybody watched Kansas TCU, which was like 22 all at the half, we might be looking at like a 51-49 game.
You might want to shield your eyes
when the Vols in Kansas play, but I think the Vols will grind another one out. That will be a big win in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Also on the college basketball front, I watched the team that I covered for a long time, and luckily my 13-year-old Brennan had practice and couldn't watch it, or he would have probably like cried in the house. Michigan State lose 67-37 to Rutgers. They are garbage. They are hot
stink.
Trash. They're awful, and they shouldn't be awful.
Greg Schiano coaching the basketball team?
Steve Peichel is a very good coach.
Okay, good.
Here's my shot. Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Michigan State. These are four of the great programs in college basketball. They're all going to miss the NCAA tournament this year. I mean, Kentucky's kind of an obvious one right now, but I'm going to call all those other ones too. The other three have a shot. I think they're all going to miss it, which would be pretty amazing. And my last shot, of course, I got to take a new shot on Deshaun Watson. We all got to shoot a shot there. I'm going to go Niners. I think the Niners are going to end up coming up with a package to get this done, which includes Jimmy G, which I know won't excite the people of Houston, but along with him and picks and maybe a big-time defensive player in there, I think that they will have the most appealing situation to get Deshaun Watson.
Okay, I like it. My called shots of the weekend are this. Number one, I say the Vols win by 6 or more against Kansas in the showdown coming up on Saturday.
Are they 6-point favorites?
I haven't even looked. Couldn't tell you. That's the number that's in my head.
That's okay. Robbie's line.
Yeah, it's my
Robbie's
line.
Line is 6.
I'm all right, just telling so you to take them. If they are 6-point favorites, take.
So you are setting the line at 5.5, and you're taking the over.
That's what I'm doing.
All right.
I think they get it done. Jane Springer, I think a big part of that. We'll see if Tennessee can resemble some offense at some point and put the ball in the basket. That would be nice to see on that front. I think Matt Duchene in the next two games for the Predators taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday and on Monday, I think he has two goals during that span. Now, it's been a struggle for Duchene from a production standpoint so far. He's had a ton of chances, not been able to get anything to fall for him. I think he's right on the doorstep. I think Duchene scores twice in these next two games for the Predators against Tampa Bay. And for as far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, I'm going off the board a little bit. Drew Brees is retiring. I still like a lot about that roster. They've got some cap finagling to do. I think the New Orleans Saints end up with Deshaun Watson. I think that's a very attractive place for Watson to go. I think that makes them very, very threatening in the NFC. I think that is where Deshaun Watson ends up. And I will say this. I'll go on and put this called shot on the record now. I don't know how much of a shot it is. Matthew Stafford, next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Those are my called shots.
Porth, you have to at least take a Deshaun Watson shot. You're not allowed to not take a Deshaun Watson shot. You know, everybody in the world's taking a shot right now.
You know, he went on this big rant earlier about, like, kids bailing in the transfer portal when it gets too hard and how that's how today's generation operates. And now he goes over and call your shot Friday and just abandons it the next week.
I am saving, like, a dozen called shots for next week for the Super Bowl so I can go 0-12 next week.
Okay.
Winners never quit and quitters never win, Ryan. I want to know where Deshaun Watson is going. You might be right.
Miami.
All right. We got a call shot out of him.
He didn't even think about it. He just threw out a name. Whatever.
All right.
My goodness, poor.
We'll put you down. I'll put you down for the Dolphins.
Let's go to our
next. If it's right, you're going to be like, remember my called shot on January 29th?
That didn't want to take.
That is where Deshaun Watson wants to go, and he's dictating this entire thing. So Deshaun Watson gets to go to the place that he wants to go and goes to Miami.
All right. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in and says, Duchesne will score at least one goal in both games against the Lightning. The shootout goal will spark him. So Nate and I are very similar on that regard.
Okay.
Joey from Gallatin texts in and says, the Preds will earn 3 of 4 points against the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up in this set. So that'd be a heck of a stretch.
They do play well against the Lightning.
They do. They have played very well against the Lightning the last few years.
Sounds like a lot of shots from a week ago on that Dallas trip.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully they handle that road trip a little bit better than they handled the one against Dallas. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Logan texts in and says, Tom Brady makes Mahomes officially his son next weekend and wins his 7th Super Bowl. Brady throws 3 touchdowns and 300 yards, and also Fabro puts one in the net on Saturday against the Lightning. So a preemptive shot by Logan in the Super Bowl, and Fabro scoring for the Preds against the Lightning this weekend.
So Fabro gets shot. Checked into the net on Wednesday, and then he finds the back of the net on Saturday.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sam text in, Jaden Springer has 15-plus points in a Vols win on Saturday, and also Bitcoin hits 40K today. Interesting stuff going on in the stock market right now.
Yeah, I don't totally understand it, but I know that my 16-year-old was texting me from high school yesterday about it, like getting in the market. I'm like, what? I don't know. What do you want me to do, man? What do you want me to do?
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, Stafford to the Colts, Lawrence to the Jags, Fields to the Jets in the Watson trade. The Titans better fix their problems ASAP. So where does Watson end up in all that?
So, wait. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't say he didn't have Watson.
Yeah, he says to the Jets.
No, he said
Fields
to the Jets. Justin Fields. That's not Deshaun Watson.
If you're going to take a shot on quarterbacks, don't you have to take a Deshaun Watson shot?
I think he meant Fields to the Texans
okay. In
the Watson trade.
Okay.
I think he's calling Watson to the Jets.
Okay.
All right.
Look, we've heard some reports. He loves Robert Sala. What's not to love? Robert Sala's a great coach.
Is it Sala or Sala?
Sala.
Sala.
Sala. Okay.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, called shot of the week, Deshaun Watson ends up with the New Orleans Saints. So, Josh, right there with me, the Saints. I think it makes a lot of sense now. They've got some cap flexibility, cap gymnastics to do to make that happen, but that could make a lot of sense.
I look forward to Saints fans rolling their eyes when Taysom Hill comes onto the field for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Or maybe Taysom Hill is the next starting quarterback of the Houston
Texans.
Yeah, it
could be. Maybe he's the pick. He's the package going back.
How about Jameis and Taysom?
Oh, man.
Taysom Jameis?
Yeah, that'd be something. Winston.
Taysom?
Talk about
Taysom and Jameis together. Taysom.
Talk about Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen helping those defensive numbers. Jameis will throw you a few. Get those interception numbers up a little bit.
That's right. I mean, Byard is like, please bring Jameis to the AFC South.
Let's go. That does it for this edition of Call Your Shot Friday. We appreciate their participation as always on the text line. Great stuff and good luck to your called shots coming up this weekend. When we come back, we'll get into the latest with the Tennessee Titans. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will join us. The Titans have a hire at the offensive coordinator position. What does TD think of it all? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Luxury living begins with your move to Mason, Preferred Living's newest community in the desirable New Albany area. Your suite features soaring ceilings, White Valley granite countertops, and spa-inspired bathrooms. With amenities like a multi-tier year-round pool and hydrotherapy spa, Trackman golf simulators, a private screening room, and complimentary Starbucks coffee, every day feels like a retreat. Learn more and schedule your tour at livepreferred.com.